Well, turn in the scriptures if you'd like to follow along in the reading of the Word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, perhaps very familiar verses to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 8 through the end of the chapter. Give your attention now. This is a reading of God's inspired, inerrant, infallible word. It is our only rule of faith and practice. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So far, the living word of the living God. May that word dwell in us richly. Let's approach the throne of grace once again. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you in worship, having sung your praise and lifted our hearts to you in prayer. We pray, Father, now that having read the word, we would hear it with ears that are spiritually tuned and eyes that are spiritually open, that we may benefit from that word through your servant. We're not come to be impressed by men, but we would be impressed by the Spirit. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it certainly is an understatement to say that these are frightening days. Hospitals are overrun and overworked. And every day there is an increasing number of people who are in dire straits. And every news story on television, radio, and what have you is about COVID-19. The increasing number of positive tests. And all the deaths that are due to this virus. But I wonder, even with that news, if you have ever considered the number of deaths that happen every day, worldwide. That number is somewhere in the vicinity of 150,000 deaths every day. That's 6,250 every hour, 104 per second, worldwide, every day, all the time. You notice it most when it's somebody close to you, somebody you know. COVID-19 has everyone thinking about life. Because life has changed dramatically in the space of just a couple of weeks. Children are not going to school. Some of them, it sounds like, may not go back to school this year. Businesses are closed everywhere. Self-quarantine has become part of the vernacular language that we use. This is not normal. We are hard-pressed. That is, troubled. Squeezed into narrow places. That's what the Greek word hard-pressed means. We're pushed into a tight spot. We are perplexed. That is, we doubt. Don't know what to do. We're at a loss. So much bad news. But, hold on, Christian, verse 7, which we didn't read. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are jars of clay with a storehouse of God's glory inside. We are not crushed or in despair. Why? Verse 11. That the life of Jesus Christ may be manifested in our mortal flesh. These are frightening days. But these frightening days are for the glory of God and for the good of His people. We may not fully be able to explain how, but we need to think biblically about these days. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church. And in this section, he's writing about the work of the ministry in the world. And he's basically saying, it's hard. There are trials, persecutions, and death. But there is also faith. Verse 13, I believe, therefore I spoke. There is the resurrection. Verse 14, we know that God raised up the Lord Jesus. And it is faith and the resurrection that is the answer to all this anxiety and worry and depression and these frightening days. Brothers and sisters, you know that the grace of God is not hindered in difficult times. Rather, it may turn out that these times are the very means that God is using to spread His grace. Verse 15, so that thanksgiving may abound to the glory of God. In the midst of all these difficulties he's just described, may that turn out for the glory of God. Therefore, verse 16 through 18. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning let's consider there is a big difference between the outward and the inner man. There is a big difference between the here and now and the there and then. And there is a big difference between the seen and the unseen. Therefore, verse 16, our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. He starts by saying, therefore we do not lose heart. That is, we don't become utterly spiritless, wearied, exhausted. How is this possible? Because the troubles are real. The trials that they're going through are pressing. The afflictions hurt. Paul the Apostle knew this firsthand, did he not? He was being tried. He was in prison. He was persecuted by the policy of the politics of the day, persecuted by the religious fervor of the day, hounded out of towns, arrested. And yet, he instructs the Christians in Ephesians 3, verse 13, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you. Suffering. Suffering is not without purpose, dear ones. In fact, Paul also said in Colossians 1, verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. May I just say that any preaching that tells you to become a Christian and then everything will be wonderful, healthy, wealthy, peachy keen, and nice, any preaching that tells you that is not telling you what Paul tells you. It's not telling you what Jesus tells you. Jesus said what? In John 16, verse 33, in the world you will have tribulation. That's the truth telling you the truth. But that same Jesus who said in the world you will have tribulation also said in the same verse, John 16, 33, in me you may have peace. Isn't that interesting? Same verse. We do not lose heart because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He has done the one thing that solves our biggest problem. He's paid for our sin and died doing it, but has risen from the dead. So we don't lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Brothers and sisters, if there never was a COVID-19, this is still true. Our outward man is perishing. You cannot live forever here. Never mind COVID-19. You're not going to live forever. Because there's a difference here, brothers and sisters. Have you ever taken a look at an old, gnarled, knotted, twisted apple tree? Every year, that apple tree changes for the better or for the worse. And every season, it gets older and more gnarled and more knotted. It gets pruned, changes. And in that changing, does everything about that tree perish? No. Underneath the bark, something lives. In fact, a very mysterious power. In fact, even if that particular tree dies, it lives on in seeds all over the place where its apples have gone. Let me give you another picture. This is the time of year you drive by a barren cornfield in April. There's nothing there, just brown dirt. But wait. After that field is snow covered in December, all of those months have passed, the silo is filled with corn. The life of the harvest has gone on. After all the planting, after all the waiting, after all the praying for rain, after the cutting and the separating and the hauling and the putting it into the silo, there's a silo filled with grain. And the corn lives on. Yes, dear ones, our outward man is perishing. Paul doesn't pull any punches. And I say it again. You are going to die. And if it is only COVID-19 that makes you think that, then you haven't been living in the real world. I use those numbers that I mentioned earlier. By the time this sermon is over, 25,000 people, give or take, will have died in the world. And the virus only highlights this fact. Our outward man is perishing. But there's a difference. Our inner man, our inward person, is being renewed. Brothers and sisters, something about you is transient. That is passing. Something about you is not going to stay here forever. And when you're 20-something, you don't think so much about passing away. But when you're 60-something, 70-something, you start to go, wait a minute. That day's getting awful close. Yes, there's something about you that's transient. It's going. But there's also something about you that is eternal. The inner you. Something about you is going to outlive this world. Forever. You should never forget that. This inward man, what Romans 2:9 calls the soul of man, the psuche of anthropos, the soul of man. Humans, brothers and sisters, are a living being with a body and soul, and they are together. And there is a problem. Our bodies are dying. In fact, they're dying from the moment we're born. From the moment we're born, if history carries on, we're moving to the day when we're no longer here. Regardless of COVID-19, that's still going to happen. But we are body and soul. And we are told by Paul in 2 Timothy 1:10, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. There's hope for life beyond this world. Every human has a soul. But the living Christian, the living Christ, dwells in the soul of every living Christian by faith. By faith alone. There's a difference in our soul as believers. Our inward man, Christian, a true believer, your inner man can be renewed day by day. In other words, the Christian life, normally speaking, grows deeper stronger, richer. If you have been a Christian for a long time, you know this. Oh, you may not be what you ought to be. No, none of us have acquired that place where we go, I'm done growing now. We're not what we ought to be, but we know we're not what we used to be. Something has changed. We know it. Not only in our hearts, but in our lives. We're doing things differently, saying things differently, spending our money differently, using our time differently. No, we have not already attained. We are not already perfected. And so we press on to lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith, day in and day out. And we say today, Lord, help me to do better than I did yesterday. And help me tomorrow to do better than I can do today. To walk closer to you. The inward man of a true Christian is never satisfied with whatever level of holiness you have gotten to. Whatever level of holiness you have reached, the Christian longs for more holiness, more Christ-likeness. And we do that, brothers and sisters, until this worn-out body is laid down and exchanged for a resurrection body in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we press on till that day comes. And this is how a believer faces the changes in our bodies, the passing of time, the advancing of age is coming. Watch out for 60, brother. 60 was the magic number for me, it seems like. There comes a day when all of a sudden your body won't recover the way it did when you were 20-something. Can't do certain things anymore. And God forbid there should be some other more pressing illness. Our outward man is perishing. You know what Paul is basically saying? Let it perish. Because it will ultimately, the perishing of the outward man, set the inner man free from this body of death for all eternity. Brothers and sisters, this very thought is how the martyrs faced their last moments in this world. Their inward man, the inner man, was in Christ by faith. And so they could sing, when through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I never, no never, no never forsake. Yes, our outward man is perishing, but our inward man should be being renewed. Because there is also a difference between the here and now and the there and then. Verse 17. Our light and momentary affliction is preparing an eternal weight of glory. You know what Paul is saying in this verse? There is no comparison between these two things. Whatever you're going through now is light and momentary. It's going to end. Compared to, that is, in other words, Paul is not saying that your affliction is not real. Your affliction is real and painful. It may well be very painful, filled with sorrow, but it's not forever. In other words, this too shall pass. And there is coming a day when this trial, this COVID-19 thing, will be in the past. Brothers and sisters, do I need to remind you, World War II ended. But there were people who lived during those days in some of the most horrific, terrible war scenarios. But it ended. What is this affliction doing? This is a question an awful lot of pastors and preachers are wrestling with. And frankly, some of them have the arrogance to tell you exactly what God is doing in this particular COVID-19 thing. I don't know. And frankly, I don't think they know either. But whatever God is doing, your affliction is, what does the word say here? Preparing for us, working for us. God is doing something through these afflictions. By the way, COVID-19 is not a punishment for your sin. Your suffering right now does not earn you any glory or forgiveness. Going through COVID-19, dealing with COVID-19, dying of COVID-19 doesn't pay for your sins. What Jesus accomplished in his life and death is what pays for your sin. And nothing else. Nothing more is needed for your forgiveness. Nothing more is needed for you to be accepted in God. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved, forgiven, adopted, and you will be glorified. That's the gospel. But your trials are working. In fact, your trials are leading to something much bigger, more glorious, longer lasting than anything you're going through in this life. You might live to be 80, 90. You might. You're not going to live forever. Not in this world. Because God has something bigger, more glorious, more lasting. What is that? It's an eternal weight of glory. In fact, you don't have it in your English Bibles. But in the Greek text, it says twice. Hyperbolein, eis hyperbolein. Why is that there like that? Twice. And yes, by the way, that word, you can hear it maybe, hyperbole. It's a Greek where we get the word hyperbole from. What is Paul saying? Paul can't say big enough to make the comparison. These trials, these light and momentary here and now trials, are working for us something so big, so glorious. In other words, they're leading us closer to that day. What awaits a Christian in glory is beyond description. I couldn't paint the picture. It's an exceeding weight, far more over the top. In fact, Paul says in another place, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It hasn't entered your imagination what God has prepared for those who love Him in Christ Jesus. The here and now has no comparison to the there and then. And yet it's the here and now that's so pressing, isn't it? It presses on us because it's our loved ones who are getting sick. It's getting closer and closer to us. We're starting to know somebody who knows somebody. God forbid, I don't know, but how long will it be before we say, oh, somebody in Emmanuel Chapel, somebody in the family of our membership and friends is now tested positive? I don't know. But all of that is temporary. There is going to come a day when people will look back to the spring of 2020. They say, do you remember that? Boy, that was a weird time, wasn't it? That was a strange time. That's the time when so-and-so lost his job and found a new job a few months later. That's going to happen. Even if every one of us is gone, that's going to happen. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to keep our eyes on something different. Verse 18, the seen and the unseen. Again, Paul couldn't say it any plainer. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You understand there are two worlds, this world and that world. You do not live in only one of them. Every single human being is an eternal being. Right now. And the unseen world is as real as this world. God is a spirit. Heaven and hell are real places. Sin and death are realities. Again, most of us don't think about death very much until suddenly somebody we know has died. We're at a funeral. We're burying somebody we know. Then we think about it. But brothers and sisters, this virus which we can see is temporary. The world all around you is temporary, even if you do live to be 80 or 90. Your house, your job, your life is temporary. You know this. At a very deep level, you know this. In fact, this is a far-reaching truth. The seen and the unseen. Your thoughts and affections, because you are a spiritual being, should be set on which things? The things that are seen? Which are temporary? No, brothers and sisters, there's no confidence there. There's no peace. There's no comfort in having your mind set on the here and now, the things that you can see, without thinking about the things you cannot see. As spiritual beings, our thoughts should be set on the things of God and Jesus Christ, the seen. None of us have ever seen the Lord Jesus. But he was as real, as present, as important as anybody you know. What is the most essential thing for your well-being? It's not that your wealth grows. You can become the most wealthy person in the world. That's not the most essential thing for your well-being. It's not that your fame increases. The most essential thing for your well-being is not that you get into the most perfect physical condition that you can, because your body will decay sooner or later. All those things fade. Wealth, fame, physical condition, they all fade. What is the most essential thing for your well-being? It's not a vaccine for COVID-19. Now, we're all hoping that comes and helps people get past this and we all develop immunities to it. And next year, during flu season, it's just another flu. We all hope that. But that's not the most essential thing for your well-being. By the way, the most essential thing for your well-being is not avoiding death. You can't avoid it. In fact, the Bible says it's appointed. It's appointed unto men once to die. That's coming. No, the most essential thing is the growth of your soul. Because your soul is going to live forever. The only question is where? Where is your soul going to live forever? One of two places. And brothers and sisters, you cannot grow without spiritual life, without spiritual food, without spiritual incentive. And nothing but the gospel gives you those things. The best way to deal with affliction is to use what is happening in the world right now to promote your spiritual growth. Because Paul said in the great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal must put on immortality. That's the Christian view of death. That death is swallowed up in victory. That's what Paul says. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Dear ones, it is your inner man that matters most. These are frightening days. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters most in these frightening days. Looking on the things that are unseen to find a peace that passes our understanding. That peace can only be found in Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you in the precious name of Jesus. praying that in the midst of these very difficult times, we would turn our eyes upon Jesus. Thank you for his perfect life, his sacrifice on the cross, his powerful resurrection, and his promise to come again in glory. Father, we look forward to that day, and we pray that you would help us in the midst of difficult times to wait on the Lord, on those things that are unseen. May they give us a faith that sees through the darkest days. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.